This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Horace Blackman, Vice President, Health and Life Sciences at Lockheed Martin, Information Systems and Global Solutions. What a title, huh?
Absolutely. Thank you, John.
It's a long title. I think we're shortening maybe for the rest of the show because I'm going to run out of breath going through a title like that.
Certainly understandable.
I have a friend who's the director of the director of the Future of Technology, and I think that's an impressive title, too. Horace, wanted to get you in the studio to get your ideas on a wide variety of subjects, anything from the cloud, making the transition to the cloud, maybe healthcare IT. Some of my listeners have heard about your background, some haven't. Tell us a little bit about your background, please.
Well, first, John, thanks for having me on. It's always a privilege to be here with you and to be on the radio with one of the computer guys.
Yes.
So this is a lot of fun for me. In terms of my background, you know, I've been in and around information technology for the last 20 years. I started out in what was then the dot-com era. I spent some time at America Online at AOL. Working in their electronic commerce organization. I spent some time as a management consultant and made a couple stops there, really working around the strategy of technology and really working to transform organizations by leveraging information technology. That led me to a six-year stint within the federal government as the headquarters CIO within the Department of Veterans Affairs, where we were able to accomplish quite a few things, working with a number of pretty smart, dynamic leaders within that organization, and some of the things, you know, we're going to talk about a little bit later. And finally, I'm here now within the Lockheed Martin Company, which is a fantastic organization, and we're working with a number of clients across government within the healthcare IT space, doing things like working with outsourcing disability claims examinations, working on genomics, and a number of transformational things we're doing.
I tried to keep tabs with my previous guests. And I noticed you just received an award, hadn't you? That's why I saw this award and said, well, I've got to get Horace back in the studio. He's an award-winning guy now.
Well, thank you, John. You're talking about the Federal Computer Week Fed 100 Award.
Fed 100 Award,
Fed 100 Award. It's a pretty prestigious award. I'm very fortunate to have won that award. It reflects the work of a number of folks within the Department of Veterans Affairs, a number of the partners we've worked with in industry. And it represents a number of things we're able to get done. So it's a pretty prestigious award, being one of 100 people who have received that in 2014. Certainly, it's a humbling experience and certainly something I will cherish.
Well, on radio, sometimes you hear hackneyed phrases, and one hackneyed phrase is, everyone complains about the weather, but no one does anything about it. Well, everyone complains about, you know, the federal government spending money, but guy across the table from me here did something about it. I mean, if you look at this project, he's very humble. It's, oh, yeah, he did a little bit with virtualization. But if you look at the numbers here, he reduces office budget by 33%. I mean, this is a guy who's doing something about it, huh?
Absolutely. John, you know, within the federal government, what's the story that's not being told is the story of innovation and a story of a number of agencies, a number of information technologists who are doing amazing things in terms of leveraging the power of the power of the budgets we have within the federal government to really bring about some changes. And in so doing, it's really about trying to do more with less. The days where we would go by and have 20% year-over-year increases in federal IT budgets, I can probably safely say those are gone. So the real talent and what you're seeing within places like the VA, within places like Department of Homeland Security, within Department of Defense, the intelligence community, is a lot of really innovative things being done, not just around the technology, but really around the management of the IT organizations. The prioritization processes, the budget planning processes, I think have evolved, and you're seeing and hearing the results of those things. So what we were able to do in my last stop within the Department of Veterans Affairs was really leverage some of the best of breed thinking, leverage technology to really bring down the spend we had in terms of what we were spending for legacy telecommunications, what we were spending for legacy network infrastructure, et cetera, by investing in more emerging technologies such as video conferencing, moving to voice over IP, embracing virtualization, as you mentioned, really to bring down the cost of that legacy spend that we have, that burgeoning cost you see. You know, the days where we had rooms full of mainframes that cost a lot of money, I think I can safely say are gone. There's still some places where you find those, but we're doing more on platforms, with applications, with the development of apps, with moving away from the notion that a computer is a device by which you can only access information, to really disaggregating and disintermediating that chain, whereas the important thing is having access to the data you need to be effective. So you're looking at things such as using tablets, using apps, and using the cloud to really access information a lot more efficiently.
Disaggregating. Well, you must be an English major, huh, Horace?
I am an English major, John. I'm a proud English major.
I'm going to have to write that one down and start using it. I'm going to impress someone with that one, you know?
Absolutely, John.
And so Vivek Kundra sat in that chair 3-4 years ago, and he talked about move to the cloud, to the cloud. And anyone can get a piece of paper and say, well, if you virtualize, if you move to the cloud, here's a piece of paper, get a whiteboard, okay, this reduces costs. I think lots and lots of people have been in your position or your position at the VA, and some people just beat their head against the wall and go home at night. I mean, you made the change. So what's the magic sauce? How did you do it?
Simply put, in one word, strategy. You have to think about what we're trying to accomplish. First, let's start with the customers. In the Department of Veterans Affairs, we serve somewhere between 5 and 10 million customers, veterans. We have a headquarters organization back at the VA. And we're able to look at what are the needs of the customers? What are the missions and the mission profiles that these parts of the organization are looking to do? And what we then did was we looked at how can we leverage the cloud? How can we virtualize things? Look at things such as desktop virtualization. You have a situation where you have 10,000 employees in the organization. They have laptops, desktops, what have you. But do they really have to? You know, a number of people now are teleworking. They're working from home. They're finding themselves on the road quite a bit. They're finding themselves in airports, hotels, conferences, and what have you. And they need access to information. So whereas you have a device, a laptop, a desktop, what have you, that was the single source of accessing that device, we actually broke the chain apart between the data you need to have access to and a device you need to have. So with virtualization, you can actually, at the desktop level, you can actually use any device, smartphone, tablets, laptop, something at a internet cafe, if you can still find them out there, to be able to log in securely and access the information that you need, so that you're not as heavily dependent on the physical infrastructure, the laptops, the desktops, or what have you.
David Linthicum wrote an article for Datamation this week, and he talked about three things missing from most enterprise cloud strategies. What's interesting is that he says operation planning is often an afterthought. That's exactly the first thing you led with.
First thing you have to say. I mean, having a strategy of what you're going to do, outlining the objectives of what you're trying to accomplish, and then having the mechanisms whereby you can measure yourself against those objectives has to be central to what you do and has to be the first thing you embark upon. The technology is always going to be there. If I gave you, John, if I gave you $10 million and said become a technologist and build an IT organization, theoretically, you can do that pretty quickly. But to be effective, you have to begin to ask the questions about what are the customers looking for? I mean, now being on this side of the fence at Lockheed Martin, that's a critical question. That is the question that underlies our success. Really understanding and really being able to define the needs of our customers, match those needs to a strategy and match the technology to that operating strategy.
And I think that's the hardest part is listening carefully and not taking your personal biases into a situation and thinking those are the best idea, because guess what? You may not be the smartest person in the room. You might listen to other people and say, well, geez, that way that person over there may have a better approach to this. And I think that's the skill set that you have and you've shown with your work at the VA is listening to others and maybe coming up with some kind of an aggregation that is not necessarily all you, but maybe it is
Absolutely.
The right solution.
You know, John, I jokingly said to folks when I was at the VA, if I'm the smartest guy in the room, we're in deep trouble.
Yeah. Hey, that's my line.
So from my perspective, the smartest person is the person who figures out what to deliver to make the organization as effective as it can be.
Makes sense. Let's take a break. When we come back, I'd like to explore some of these public-private organizations you're involved with. You mentioned the term apps, and you realize, of course, that the Apple Store has 97,000 health apps.
Wow.
And there's all kinds of information with apps and mobile devices, and I think it's a fascinating topic to explore after we take a quick break. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Live in the studio, we have Horace Blackman. He's the Vice President of Health and Life Sciences at Lockheed Martin. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Horace Blackman. He's the Vice President of Health and Life Sciences at Lockheed Martin. But that's just like a little teeny part of your world, isn't it? I mean, you're very involved in the world of public-private partnerships, aren't you, Horace?
I am. Have been for quite some time. I presently serve as the President of GITEC, which is the Government Information Technology Executive Council.
You know, from the radio perspective, that sounds like a sexist organization. GITEC. Yeah, I'm with GITEC. Yeah, we don't know all the girls. It's like a clubhouse. No girls allowed, huh?
Well, John, I hate to burst your bubble. Prior president to me was a very nice woman, and the incoming president is a woman.
So GITEC is GITEC. Government Information Technology Council. That's just one of the many you're involved in.
One of the many. I do some work with ACT-IAC, which is the American Council for Technology and Industry Advisory Council. Do some work with AFIRM, the Association for Federal Information Resource Management, and do a little bit of work with FCIA as well.
And so from your perspective, you were involved in these organizations when you were working for the federal government and you change hats. Now you're with a commercial organization and you're still involved with these. You're kind of like going from one, like me, one side of the table
Absolutely.
To the other. I mean, you must have value on both sides of this world.
John, it's in this community, the federal IT community is a fascinating community. It's a lot of dynamic folks who are really passionate about really making a difference when it comes to leveraging technologies to improve government. Each and every one of these organizations play a very similar role, and it's really around a public partner, a public-private partnership, whereas we have folks in industry, folks within the government, who foster a conversation, and that conversation is aimed at evolving how the government interacts with the federal IT contractor community, how we leverage technology within the federal government, and really how the federal IT community within the private sector really can come up with a set of solutions, a set of technologies, and really develop the tools really needed to assist in a transformation of government and the improvement of citizen services.
I like the whole concept of public-private partnerships. In fact, I was at Capitol Hill a few weeks ago. I met Mark Langley, president of PMI organization. 800,000 PMPs floating around.
Yes,
I think there must be 100,000 in the federal government. There's thousands of them.
I have my pin.
Right. And I'd love to get him in the studio and say, oh, what are you doing for my listeners there, buddy? I mean, what is PMI doing? I think you might as well take advantage of the situation. When budgets get tight, you take and leverage whatever you have. And this is a great guy to know, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So I'm trying to get in here and say, well, geez, you know, what are you doing special for us? I mean, come on now. I mean, this is a very large group he has. Now he's traveling a whole lot, but I'm going to grab him.
And to put the plug in for PMI to do a fantastic job around the education, around the training, preparation of the folks who have the PMP certification. Their focus is around project management, and they do a fantastic job. And over the years, I think they've gotten more and more entrenched and embedded in what's how IT is really managed. And I think it shows in some of the programs you've seen.
If you're involved in social media, my Twitter handle is @RayGilray. Started on mobile devices, by the way, @RayGilray. Saw a tweet 2 days ago, kind of an interesting tweet for you. And the tweet was, 65% of all email is opened on a mobile device. Isn't that fascinating?
Fascinating.
Wow, wow, wow. And if you come up with other fun facts about YouTube, what Google will tell you is that 40% of all YouTube videos are viewed at on mobile devices. There's Google Analytics, of course, they know these numbers. And so if we switch topics and go, well, geez, you know, what about medical? What about doctors and nurses and physician assistants and all those important people over there in federal government, VA? Well, they must be involved in mobile, too.
Certainly.
Well, duh. So let's talk about mobile and the VA.
Certainly, John. Mobile, you know, the VA, like a number of other federal agencies, has been pretty at the forefront of really embracing mobile. There's the notion of the Blue Button app that was started quite a few years ago. Peter Levin, Roger Baker embraced the concept of enabling citizens, veterans, to be able to have access to their own medical records. I think that was pretty groundbreaking at the time. But since then, as with everything else within this community, there's been an evolution. And I think where you're seeing that evolution go is really from having a concept where, like Blue Button, all the way down to the patient, where the rubber meets the road. You know, historically, if you ever spent any time in a hospital, you had this concept of a doctor, a clinician, a nurse practitioner, what have you, that will come by your room, spend some time with the patient, and they would have this clipboard with your medical records chart. They would do their rounds, they'd check some things off. And it's interesting, John, it wasn't ever clear what they were writing on those clipboards. I think now what you're beginning to see is those clipboards are being replaced by tablets. And what those clinicians are now doing, they're able to have access to the entire electronic medical record within the touch of their fingers on those tablets. They're able to look at medications. They're able to adjust medications. They're able to make immediate changes that are instantaneously, in some cases, reflected on those medical records. You see the number of companies that are doing things around these things. You're seeing not just point of care clinical apps. You're seeing things around telemedicine, telepsych. You're doing counseling sessions. You're actually having the patient being able to interact with the clinician through this device. They could be sitting on a beach. They could be sitting 1,000 miles away. They can have a counseling session. They can actually have a physical examination session in some instances, leveraging some of these apps. And there are a number of companies out there that are they're pretty aggressively working in this space, and you're going to see more and more of this. You mentioned a number of 97,000 apps out there within the iTunes, within the App Store. I think that number is going to go up. I think you're going to see things such as, you know, the VA had the PTSD Coach, which is an app they developed to assist caregivers, family members, et cetera, to work with folks who are dealing with PTSD and related disorders. So you're going to see more and more of this. And this is a critical part of the evolution of health IT.
Let me go from one side of the river to the other. Over at HHS, there's a brand new ONC leader, Farzad left, and now we have Dr. Karen DeSalvo. Mm-hmm. And in a recent presentation she gave down at the HIMSS conference in Orlando, she talked about interoperability. And she said, look, we got a lot of stuff. There's, you know, horses running around with those mobile devices and this doctor and that doctor. And, well, we got to take and get them all to talk to each other. And so she talked about interoperability. What kind of challenges does the VA face in the area of interoperability? And how do you work with the folks across the river?
Well, from our perspective, I mean, Lockheed Martin, the interoperability is a challenge, not just, I wouldn't single out the VA specifically. There's VA, there's military health, there's the private sector, there's other parts of the government, Indian Health Service, what have you, that face similar challenges. There is a taxonomy that they're really working there, ICD-10, HL-7, where they're able to have tags and links and taxonomy and how the data is put together so they can efficiently begin the process of sharing these links. I think that process is working. They're working well. It's not something that's going to occur overnight. These are large organizations that have specific requirements that are unique to them. I think, as you mentioned in the first segment, where we talked about the strategy and understanding what the customer's needs are and really working back from those needs to develop a strategy to then really integrate the technology, we have to go through that defined process. And I think what you're seeing with things such as the VA, DOD, et cetera, you're seeing that process kind of run its course, where they're looking at the specific requirements that, in this case, the VA has, that military health has, to really understand how to formulate and define a strategy around these and begin the process of putting them together. Some of these have taken some time, but my thing is I'd rather make sure we take the time to get it right than to go out with something that we run into some issues with and have to pull back and we lose the confidence of the customers in the process.
All that interoperability between increasingly small devices that people wear. It's called the Internet of Things. In fact, the last person that sat in that chair had on a Nike, I think it was a Nike Fuel Band. Mm-hmm. And I turned to him and said, you know, Nike just stopped supporting that Fuel Band on Friday. And so one of the challenges with this Internet of Things and all these medical devices and monitoring and interoperability is that these things change so fast, you have to design a system that really is flexible and loose and I don't want to use over you, but agile. It has to almost be, okay, I'm ready. What do you got? Okay, Nike, good. Okay.
Absolutely, John. I mean, we're sitting, you know, the old Jeffrey Moore, you know, this, the curve of technology adoption. We're on the early end of that curve. And you're going to see issues with interoperability. You're going to see the process where we have technology out there without necessarily the underlying standards to run them. I think what you're beginning to see now when we talk about the Internet of Everything and the ability to foster interoperability is you're seeing this market evolve to the second stage of that, where we're looking at a standards-based infrastructure where we can tie these things together.
Second dimension or the third dimension or something that's interesting. Let's take a break. When we call it back, we'll talk more about social media. And then let's go back to the transition to the cloud and talk about my listeners, about federal IT professionals and what they're really interested in. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This morning in the studio, we have Horace Blackman, Vice President, Health and Life Sciences at Lockheed Martin. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, Horace Blackman, Vice President, Health and Life Sciences at Lockheed Martin. He's had a wide-ranging career everywhere from George Mason to University of Virginia, here and there, the federal government, and back again. And he is a seasoned executive, and he has a good perspective on many, many different things. I'm not going to ask you an intellectual question. I'm going to ask your perspective on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle, Horace?
My Twitter handle is at BlackmanHL.
At Blakeman, and you can follow me at Ray Gilray, and I'll have a picture of you up there, and people can go, boy, that guy's funny looking. He doesn't sound funny looking. People always want to know, what does he look like? You know, I mean, what kind of phone does he have? And I have a little test for you coming up. People are going to find exactly what kind of phone you have. My listeners are federal IT professionals, and the reason they listen to the show is hopefully because I bring some people in the studio that can make their life easy. You know, instead of beating their head up until 5 o'clock at night, maybe they can stop at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and learn something from the show. And that's what I want them to do. You know, if they can get a website, if they can get a blog, if they can get a handle, maybe follow you and get some tips and making their life, then all of a sudden, and then I win, and everyone's happy. And that's what I'm just trying to figure out exactly what my listeners want. And so what I do is I always read surveys, and I talk to people and meet people and get them at events, go to ACT events and get them, say, hey, what's important to you? I'll bring Horace on and talk about mobile. I'll talk about healthcare IT. So I read a survey. There's a survey from, I think it's GovExec, and they talked to system administrators from the federal government, federal IT, my folks, the Govies, and they said, please prioritize the following IT goals set forth by the administration and the importance in your department. And what's interesting is that the number one, rated one, was IT service and IT service quality and accountability. Wow. That reflects what I think, too, of the Govies. Isn't that great that it's on top?
It is, John. What this reflects is going back to the basics. Technology should be there to enable the mission of the organization and be, you know, the days when you think of a computer and doing what you're doing was a nice thing to have is long gone. The computer, the network infrastructure, and the service that the IT organizations within the federal government provide is critical to supporting the missions of the organization. So it's not really surprising that the service quality and the accountability of CIOs within federal agencies will top that list.
It's interesting. And if you go down the list, what's number two is IT shared services, the push to the cloud. We hear that. And number three, guess what? Mobile security. I mean, this is, you know, in the last 6 years I've been doing this show, mobile went from worst to first. It's like, who cared back then? And now, wow, it's number three.
Well, that actually reflects something, John. And what it reflects is this. You know, you look at 4 or 5 years ago, there was the ubiquity of the BlackBerry. And it was a telephone that gave you email that had some functionality around, you know, the ability to go on a web, access some applications, calendaring, and what have you. I think what you've seen right now is nothing short of an evolution. When we've migrated to tablet devices, to smartphones, to things that really enable you to have an asset, an information asset in your hand, to be able to really not just receive information in a kind of send-receive mode, but to be able to interact with information to enable the mission of the organization, whether it's police officers being able to do things, whether it's IT technicians within the federal government being able to open and clear tickets from a ticketing system, whether it's clinicians being able to check on patients, where it's doing things like having the ability to access remote cameras into data centers, whereas you would have to have somebody at that data center before, the expense associated with that. So mobile, whereas it was something nice to have that gave you some limited flexibility, is actually something pretty critical to the mission of the organizations right now.
If we look at the survey, the bottom of the list is open data. And your comments on that?
Well, I think it reflects the emerging nature of open data right now, right? We're certainly going to open standards, going to the ability to interact and have the extensible involvement with academics, with industry, with folks within an ecosystem certainly is there. I think it may also reflect, and this is a guess of mine, the fact that the comfort level, when you balance it against things such as information security and the ability to understand ownership and how you manage these things within the IT ecosystem, is still a bit undefined. And I think that lack of critical and centralized definition of it, I think, is reflected there. I think it's at the bottom of the list because it's like you mentioned, mobile used to be at the bottom, right? As technologies emerge, they kind of start at the bottom and kind of work their way up on this list. So I think that the true test of this is going to be, where is it next year, the following year, and the year after that?
Well, one of the themes, obviously, in shows in mobile, the rise of mobile, and all kinds of themes I see over the last few years. And we look at many, many of my interviews. I've done 360. One theme that I try to bring out is that the problems that the govies encounter in IT is very similar to the problems that commercial people encounter in Chicago and Tulsa and Dallas and everywhere else. And when I look at the article from Datamation from David Linthicum, he talked about the number two problem with moving to the cloud is training and hiring plan is typically missing. And
absolutely.
So if I grab 10 government CIOs, they'd say, look, the training and hiring plan is missing. I'm going to say, it's the same thing in New York, buddy, isn't it?
You know, question. I mean the you know, we go back 10, 12 years ago, and what you found that was that there was somewhat of a difference between how IT was managed, implemented, and how it functioned within a commercial entity versus the government. I think it's safe to say that gap's been closed. Federal government organizations, even state, local, whatever the case may be, they use information technologies the same way that commercial entities use information technology. And my own personal journey from going from the private sector to the government back to the private sector, the notion of how we leverage technology has not really changed in each one of those three stops. So I think where we are right now, and the challenges you'll find CIOs are having in the private sectors, is not that dissimilar. In my previous stop within the government, we had a lot of conversations with private sector CIOs. And the fascinating thing for me was the challenges that the private sector faced was not that dissimilar to what we faced.
And I think that's I hope it's reassuring for me and my listeners, because I was like, oh, woe is me. This is no, it's a similar problem. Human beings have similar type problems. One problem I think that many of my listeners have is a career path for the federal government. We talked about the PMP, and I think there are some commercial organizations that are starting to think about this. But from the perspective of a federal information technology professional, how do you hire people? And once you get someone good, okay, we got Horace in here, great. Well, he's smart, he works hard, well, great. Now, where's he going to be in 5 years? What kind of a path does he have in the area of information technology? I think that's a challenge some of my listeners have, is just the whole idea of HR separate from a technology challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, John, the technology is evolving, and we have to think about when we hire somebody, whether we're hiring as a private sector manager or a government CIO, we have to hire folks that are into a career path. What are the types of things they're going to do? The days in which we hired someone to work on a system or to be a database administrator for a particular type of database are gone.
Seems so simple, doesn't it?
It's gone.
We're going to hire you to manage a database. Wow.
We need to look in terms of information architects and information specialists, security specialists, and really IT specialists. And the degree to which we need to make these folks, their knowledge base, when familiarity with technology is ubiquitous as possible, has to be what we strive to do. The days where we can just single thread somebody into an area is something that will become a competitive disadvantage for organizations in this environment.
Single thread, multi-thread. Remember back the days of CPUs, they talked about multi-thread architecture. Remember those days?
Yep.
Maybe that's where you're borrowing that from.
I am.
You know, a look at your background. You've also won awards from Computer World in addition to your Fed 100. What was your Computer World award for anyway?
Computer World.
By the way, commercial organization.
Commercial organization. Computer World is a prestigious award. I was fortunate to win in 2013. That is somewhat similar to Fed 100, but it's focused on the commercial space. I think they have a 100 as well. I think the mix of government to industry, it's about maybe there were 10 of us within government and 90 within industry. They looked at many of the same things the Fed 100 looked at. They looked at impact on the organization, how we're leveraging technology to aid the mission of the organization, and how we're using the ability to manage IT as a business to transform the organizations that we support.
I think the last time, in fact, we were on the air, we talked about managing mobile devices. That was the whole focus of the whole interview. And now we're taking that as a small part of it and talking more about cloud management strategy, in fact, some HR issues. Let's take a break. When we come back, talk more about what you see as the future for the federal government. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Horace Blackman, Vice President, Health and Life Sciences at Lockheed Martin. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This morning in the studio, we have Horace Blackman, Vice President, Health and Life Sciences at Lockheed Martin. The conversation today has bounced from everywhere, from the VA to mobile to moving to the cloud, all kinds of different topics. And I read a lot of blogs to get information. Do you read any blogs that you can share with our listeners?
I do. You know, the last time I was here, I mentioned that I read Chris Dorbeck's blog, and I think you did not approve of that.
No, I know Chris.
He's a good guy. I'm just joking. But there are a number of blogs I do read, basically to keep up with what's going on in and around information technology within the federal space. Chris is a good one to read. The Dorbeck Insider. I read a number of the Insider. It's hard to differentiate now between a blog and some of these online news outlets. You know, the things like FedScoop and some of the GovExec and a number of these. They've sort of blogs that have grown up, if you will, and morphed into something a little more formal. Mm-hmm. But I find that those are a great source of having a perspective of what's going on. They're, if you will, the newspaper for the federal IT community. So I spent a lot of time with those.
Yeah, there's organizations that curate content. And in my world, advertising and marketing, it's called native advertising. And there's a lot of strong opinions about what's information, what's commercial, what isn't commercial. And there's a lot of strongly held opinions about that. My blog is Tech Tuesday Blog. And my last blog was about a type of virtualization that's open source called OpenStack and how it was mm-hmm. received in the community. Talked about Canonical and talked about price changes on April 1st. Everyone thought it was a joke, and apparently it wasn't. A lot of people are listening going, wow, this is kind of a smooth-talking guy. I wonder if he's really a nerd. He doesn't sound like a nerd. Well, he kind of does sound like a nerd, but he doesn't sound like a nerd. And so what I've devised, Horace, is a scientific 10-question test. I'm going to ask you this test, and we will determine if, in fact, you're a card-carrying nerd or not. First question. So I break into your house this afternoon, how many desktops will I see plugged in floating around that house?
Two.
Just two, huh?
Two desktops.
Well, you got to throw those things out. Now, how many cell phones have you purchased in the last year yourself?
I have personally purchased four cell phones
in
the last year.
Wow. That's kind of nerd points. The nerds are like that. And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
I do.
What's that?
It is at BlackmanHL.
That's a repeat. And do you have a personal blog?
I don't have a personal blog, but the folks at Lockheed Martin have been phenomenal. We have an internal blog called Eureka Stream.
Eureka Stream. So if I would search for that into Google, what would I type in?
I don't think you can.
Oh, okay. So you go to Lockheed Martin and find it there.
The good folks at Lockheed Martin, they have an internal blog that they share a lot of information on. It's like an internal Twitter to just give you a few more characters.
Oh, good. And do you use any personal online backup services?
I do. I use iCloud. Mm-hmm. And I use the Microsoft products, which can't think of it off the top of my head right now.
Maybe Dropbox. I don't know what it's called.
Dropbox is a good one I use as well.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
I'm a recent convert to iOS.
And how many? You just have one then, huh?
Two.
Two. Yeah. You know the joke at conferences outside of DC is that if you have two phones, you work for the government.
I guess I've given myself away after 6 years.
You're giving yourself away. You walk and talk like Lockheed Martin, but you're a guppy at heart. The apps on those machines, what is the favorite app you have out of all of them you use?
You know, that's a tough question, John. I find myself traveling a lot, and so I'll give you a couple. One, there is an app that gives you the flight board in any airport you go to. So the days of kind of wandering around the airport looking up to try to find where your flight's coming in and going in.
Gate Guru
is another good one that I find it's pretty helpful. The newspaper feeds, I think, are a good one. The Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, I think, are some pretty good
apps. There's so many. I don't even know which ones to use. I guess I ask, which ones do you actually use is the criteria?
You know, I kind of use about 10 or so on any given day that I float between news, between pulling things together, between mail, contacts, what have you.
And we break into your house this afternoon. How many tablet devices do we find there?
I kind of knew this question was coming, so I guess I cheated a little bit, and I counted. And the answer is four.
Four? Well, that's a good one. And what social networking sites are you active in?
So I am active on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter.
Okay. Final question. Last book you read, being an English major, by the way, the last book you read was electronic or paper?
The last book I read was electronic.
Oh, that's good, good. We'll have to put these through my computer and find out where you rank and rate in terms of being a card-carrying nerd. We always like to talk about silly things like card-carrying nerds and Govies carrying two phones and having their BlackBerries floating around. But, you know, people look at your experience and go, well, geez, you know, been around 20 years, knocked around, made some mistakes, had some success, and seen a lot of things. Well, where do you see the whole idea of virtualization heading in the next 5 to 10 years? What about in general healthcare IT and mobile devices? There's a big dropout rate for mobile devices. A lot of people start a mobile device and then drop right off. In fact, you look at Samsung's 10% dropout rate, Google Glass 14% dropout rate. A lot of people abandon quickly. So I don't know what's going to happen. What do you think is going to happen with virtualization and maybe mobile devices and healthcare IT?
So I'll be bold and say that virtualization is here to stay, and for a pretty distinct reason. The cost savings and the disaggregation of data to device, I think, is a trend I don't see reversing. I don't see us going back to holding our laptops and carrying our lives on our laptops and risk losing them. You mentioned cloud backup, cloud services. I think it's becoming fairly standard now that the Microsoft thing, I couldn't think of, a SkyDrive, the default storage option on some computers now is the cloud. It is SkyDrive. It is iCloud. So I think the notion of we're going to virtualize things, we're going to make it easy for people to find, leverage, and access information is here to stay. So I think what you're going to see is, like anything else, we're going to have a number of these things out there, a number of these platforms, and we're going to see them come together as we kind of embark upon a set of standards. Standards for interoperability, standards as we look for, as corporations, government agencies look to adopt and embrace these things. They're going to look at a platform that they can manage that's cost-effective, that they can use and incorporate into their enterprise and you roll it out to whether it's 100,000, 200,000 employees or what have you.
I was reading a blog here last night and kind of interesting phrasing here. It said that virtualization is not a tech refresh, it's a systemic change.
I would definitely agree with that.
This is not, oh, hey, your car's got a few miles on it there, buddy, go buy a new Chevy. No, it's like, oh, no, switch to some other jetpack or something. Yeah. It's a way different way of approaching things.
The notion, John, is the important thing is not the device anymore. It's the data. It's what you need in terms of your smartphone, et cetera, you know, whether you lose your smartphone, now we have the ability to back up what's on your smartphone to the cloud. So something happens, an unforeseen, unfortunate incident, you lose your cell phone. We have the ability right now, you can go down to your local cell phone provider, get a new one, and you're up and running in a matter of minutes.
I think in our last interview, we talked about the MDMs. It used to be mobile device management. And I think you said, no, it's mobile data management, John.
It is, absolutely. The point of really being able to manage the device and leverage MDMs and that sort of thing is the ability to secure information. That's the whole point of having an MDM. So the notion that you know we're gonna look to devices and you talk about devices changing, adoption rates being not what you think they are, and the standards kind of shaking some of these things out, that actually speaks more to the case of you need to have the data and the device to be separated.
In fact, now, instead of MDM, now people are talking about EMM, or it's Enterprise Mobility Management, because again, it's the focus is not on the device, it's focused on, guess what, you named it,
the data. So we talked about mobile devices, whether it's your tablet, your phone, or what have you. Now we're bringing in laptops, desktops, servers into that equation. So we're disintermediating the data at all levels of the value chain from the actual devices. We're doing virtualization, so the notion of you have a server, you're running an application, you're doing storage on that server, we're actually doing virtual servers now, where we're taking that one box and we're running sometimes 10, 15, 20 different virtual machines on that server, so that the cost efficiency and the cost effectiveness of that device becomes increasing. Now, we talked, and this is even happening on the desktop side now. With some Apple devices, we went to the ability to actually put a virtual machine and have actually two machines on one device. That's where it's going, where the notion of one machine, one device, you're seeing that come apart.
And focusing on the debt as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, in terms of healthcare, I think you're going to see a lot of things evolve there. We talked a little bit about telehealth. We talked a little bit about virtualization and the emergency mobile.
We'll have to talk more next time in the studio. We'll talk about that. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Horace Blackman, Vice President, Health and Life Sciences at Lockheed Martin.
John, thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.